Hi, this is Hannes Finney with Storyworthy, obviously. And Christine and I want to thank you for all you've done to help our numbers shoot way up in the past 3 months. We are available on Stitcher, on SoundCloud. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Keep telling your friends. Keep telling your enemies. Tell anyone that you know to keep listening to Storyworthy because it's worth it. It's worth it.
This is Jennifer Valley, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Oh, man, I'm really relaxed.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney. We're coming to you from a Hollywood high grade on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Is that a dispensary?
Man. Yeah, it's a dispensary, man.
All right.
Dave's not here, man.
Storyworthy, talking about weed. That's unusual.
I know. That's almost, why don't we just say weed could be like in the Google things? Yeah, weed worthy.
Weed worthy with Christine Blackburn. Well, this is fascinating. We've got a great episode tonight. The title is I Love Weed. I mean, it's
you
just
love weed? We
so
know that.
Simple.
It's no, just, it's not. But it's not your story, I Love Weed.
No,
it's Jennifer Valley's story.
It's comedian Jennifer Valley. She is here. And you know, Hannes, she's a favorite of the show.
She's a favorite of the show because she gives you free weed.
No.
That's no,
not.
Because she brings it. And by it, I mean weed. No, she brings her talent.
Jennifer Valley has had so many humorous stories here on the Storyworthy podcast. Folks, you can go back in the archives.
She's a two-time winner of Shotgun Storyworthy at Io West in Hollywood.
That's right. But you can go back in the archives and hear about how Jennifer Valley goes to Tijuana for her dental work.
Right, right. Wait a minute. Actually, I'm wondering if she'll keep up the streak today of like whenever she's on. Eventually, at some point, she tells a story where she takes her top off. She can't because she had the one where she was on the show
beach in Cabo,
on the beach in Cabo, skinny dipping with a bunch of kids, and that was a fun story. And then the other one was where you were in the reality show, Gene Simmons' wife's reality show.
Yeah,
and they were
jewels.
Like, "Hey, we want somebody to go topless at the pool." And Jennifer went, "How dare you?" All right, in one sentence.
And well, she is here, and her story is titled "I Love Weed." So you know I'm going to love this story.
Right, weed.
I have to tell you.
Did we say this already? Have we started? I'm confused. I smoke in front of my face.
Hannes, I would love to see you high sometime. That would
no,
be
you
it.
Won't.
Yes,
I no,
would.
I get anxiety attacks.
Well, it depends on the weed. If I gave you a really smooth indica, I don't think anything would be. I don't think you would be freaking out at all.
Indica.
Indica.
As in Indigata Davida?
Oh, no? For goodness sake. Ladies and gentlemen, well, we have 23 states in our fine country that marijuana is now available medicinally. Do you want to hear the states,
Hannes? That's almost the same number as support gay marriage. Now, I wonder how many, because I just saw that on Facebook. It's like it's almost half the country. I wonder if they're all the same states. That's a good question.
Well, let me tell you the states where you can get medicinal marijuana, no problem at all.
All right.
Alaska, Arizona, California, Connecticut, Colorado, D.C., Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. Now, Washington State and Colorado, of course, you are able to get it recreationally as well.
Yes.
And Oregon and Alaska, they both vote for recreational weed. This year, in October 2014, they'll be voting on recreational marijuana. And California, we vote again in 2016.
Right. But California, oddly enough, will probably be behind the curve on this.
Well, we were behind the curve on gay marriage.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
They'll be, yeah, because there's people who, California is not all like liberal Hollywood. And the people who live, I just went on a driving trip up through the center of California. It's like, I think that people who don't live in Los Angeles kind of resent the amount of power that the sheer population of Los Angeles gives it.
Ha-ha.
To, yeah, yeah, suck it. Now, excuse me while I take 48,000 minutes to drive home. Meanwhile, you live in your business. But anyhow, yeah, it's like, so disproportionately, I think people like, no, whatever you're seen as a liberal idea is gone against. Can I just say, you're making me think of, I was doing a little research on the web. That's right. Show prep.
about 3 minutes ago.
I didn't even know you knew anything about pre-production.
Right. So there's a. I found a website.
I have to send you the directions to Sideshow every week.
That's true.
I actually don't know what city I'm in.
I'm almost calling like, where are we again? There's a website called webehigh.org. Mm-hmm. And it's apparently a travel guide site for how to get marijuana everywhere in the country. So, of course, I looked up Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the first thing they have is smoking tolerance level. 1, very illegal. 5, virtually legal. Milwaukee gets a 4.
Oh, good.
Right. So legislation, law enforcement. Wisconsin is not a stoner-friendly state. Watch out for cops. There is no shortage of cops patrolling the streets. Is where to buy my marijuana in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a big city, and it has a sheriff pot, and so is easy to find. See, you always act like a small town. There's marijuana on every street corner.
Well, that's good to hear.
Best place to buy pot is to ask around and just chill out on the north side. This is hilarious to me. Like, I'm just going to wander the north side like, you got any weed? You got any weed? Just ask. You will most likely get a score very soon doing this. Half the people in the area of North Avenue and Holton Street, I know exactly where that is, smoke weed, and nearly the rest are cool with it. That's hilarious to me.
The fact of the matter is that anybody would be so-called uncool with it. It's just crazy. It is not a vice. That's what I think people don't understand. Marijuana is not a vice.
Right,
it's not
but
like
it's
alcohol.
Not-
You're not going to get addicted. You can't get addicted.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I know that you're not going to speed.
No,
you're going to be like, you know, the chances are that you will cause a traffic jam by going 3 miles an hour, but you're not going to run into a tree.
Okay, listen, now Denver, as you know, that's the Mile High City, of course. They now have 340 recreational and medicinal pot shops. They have made, in the first 4 months, marijuana became legal in Colorado. The marijuana sales amounted to more than $202 million. $202 million. Taxes from recreational sales were $11 million.
Yeah, and that is what will change it in America. Money talks and bullshit walks. It's all about money.
And also, there's been no arrests. There's no problems. There is, you know, the biggest problems that are coming from this is people taking weed out of Colorado, and they're arresting people on the borders heading into the states surrounding Colorado.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Which, it's unfortunate that people should have to go into Colorado to take it out of Colorado. In other words, it should just be legal everywhere.
Well, it's so weird that it all has to be consistent, because it used to be when I was young, during the Civil War, the drinking age in Wisconsin was 19.
Yeah.
And the drinking age in Illinois, I'm sorry, drinking age in Wisconsin, of course, was 18. Drinking age in Illinois was 19. So, of course, this just caused tremendous amount of 18-year-olds to drive across the border, get blitzed out of their fucking minds on Blatt's, Pabst Blue Ribbon, and Leinenkugel, and then drive back to northern Illinois.
Right.
And they were, of course, they weren't breaking the law until they were driving drunk. But it's like, you can't, the states have to be, they're not separate countries. They have to come to an agreement.
Well, they say 10,000 Coloradans now work in the marijuana industry, not even counting the construction workers, landlords, accountants, attorneys, labeling and packaging companies, testing labs, and many other different industries that are benefiting from the boom. Yeah, so in 1 month alone, they made $19 million. That was in March.
Yeah.
So can you imagine if states start making that kind of money and the amount of money that can go to the schools?
Right. That's the way they need to. That's how you're going to convince people. You're never going to convince people that, you know, saying like, oh, it's not a vice or it's not this or whatever it is. It's one of the many things that human beings do to distract themselves, like alcohol, like fatty foods, like all sorts of things. So what you need to do is you need to say to a bunch of people, listen, the state of California has a debt of an immense amount of money. We can cut that debt in half. We can eliminate the debt if we legalize marijuana. And every farmer in the Central Valley in Stockton, California will go, great, I'm in. And they'll probably start growing marijuana, for Christ's sake.
Well, it's very exciting. I tell you, it's the green rush is what it is.
It is.
It's the pot-com era,
Can I just ask? I'm sorry. I just have some more. I just want to find out, because I'm still looking at the Milwaukee page of webehigh.org. Okay. Marijuana price in Milwaukee, marijuana brands in Milwaukee. And I want you to know, tell me if any of these actually ring a bell. Schwag?
I don't know Schwag.
Okay. Middles?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Middies. Nugs?
Nugs.
Beasters? Which are commercial nugs.
Okay.
Okay. Whatever the fuck. Sexy Beasters. top of the line nugs, almost Amsterdam quality.
Almost.
Headies. Not all the way there. Usually with a name like Purple Haze, AK-47, or NYC Diesel.
Sure. New York Diesel.
Okay, New York Diesel. Okay, all right. So now Jennifer will ask her later, nugs. She knew what a nug was.
Well, there's so many different ways to ingest marijuana. You know, it's not like alcohol where, like, if you like Jack Daniels, you can have your Jack and Coke or Jack and Soda or Jack straight up.
I like,
you
know, Jack and a brownie.
When you have...
I like to make brownie mix without milk. I just make it with Jack Daniels.
Did you ever know that Frank Sinatra was buried with a bottle of Jack Daniels?
I know that from the commercials.
Why do I know that? Oh, okay,
because
from the commercials.
Jack Daniels commercials are...
Oh, that's right. That's why I know that.
He's the man.
But marijuana, there's so many ways to ingest it, you know.
You will definitely be buried. You will be buried with a pipe. That's
that's classy. That really
Wait a minute. Frank Sinatra gets buried with a bottle of Jack, and that's cool. You get buried with a pipe, and suddenly I've gone over the line.
I want to be married with a tornado, one of the best vaporizers out there.
The tornado.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer Valley, she's going
to buried in a casket made of pipes. You know the Iron Throne?
on
Game of Thrones, it's made of swords. This will be entire casket made of pipes.
You can wrap me in papers and just incinerate me.
Yeah, and then everybody at the funeral is like, man.
Everybody's talking a lot, you know.
And everybody's like... I'm really hungry. Just this talk has made me hungry.
I'll tell you one thing good about weed. The more you smoke, the less you get that munchies thing. That doesn't permeate. You
it
know
doesn't
what I mean?
Translate.
I mean, I've been smoking weed for 30 years. Yeah. The last 20, I haven't had the munchies, which I think is a good thing.
So a mere 10 years of pierogies and those sandwiches with the French fries inside from Pittsburgh.
All right, you guys. Hey, listen, if you'd like to support Storyworthy, and we sure would appreciate it if you did,
yes,
head on
please.
Over to storyworthypodcast.com. That's our spanking brand new website.
It is clean like an IKEA showroom.
That's exactly right. And you don't have to go through the whole showroom to get your information.
No, unlike that. It's right there on the front page. And there's a little video of us talking about Patreon. Please consider going to Patreon. Click on that. If you can give us a one-time donation, if you give us ongoing donation, this will be hope, $2, $3, $4, $5 a month. If you can do that, this show will be able to continue at the level that it does.
That's exactly right.
It's not a vacuum. We're not being paid, people.
That's the problem. That's where they get you in the podcasting harness, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are getting paid, but it depends on how many sponsors.
No, there may be like five people are being paid.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah. And then
there's all the rest of us.
Yeah, and there's everybody else.
Well, listen, you guys, I know people really enjoy our show, Hannes. Our downloads are better than ever, and I get a lot of great emails. So the folks out there do appreciate Storyworthy, and I know they
give
want
us a couple of bucks.
Hearing,
come on,
Storyworthy, come at them. So yeah, head on over to storyworthypodcast.com, and also why not be our friend on Twitter? Is that
too much to ask?
Is that what you have on Twitter? Do you have a friend or a follower?
Follower.
Okay,
the friends are on Facebook, and that is bullshit because I don't like half these people. Actually, I don't know three quarters of them.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay tuned because Jennifer Valley is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have director Mark Travis.
And I will be talking about how failure can actually lead to success, especially if you don't plan it.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, this is Joe Bartnick from Puck Off, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back, man. All right, we've left the Stoner Emporium. We're going up to Chick-fil-A because, you know, it may not affect you anymore, but I have the munchies even without alcohol. Chick-fil-A, they are the ones with the big sign. So it's a cow holding a sign that says, eat more chicken.
Right.
Which makes me feel guilty about hamburgers because apparently cows can write. I didn't know they could communicate in English with us.
Chickens they're difficult.
Chickens are the cockroaches of the poultry world. That's what I say.
apparently they're worth nothing.
Yeah, like I feel bad. Like I saw a pig on YouTube the other day, a pet pig, and he was so cute, and he was sort of like communicating, and he was being petted, and you're like, oh, I feel bad about bacon. But you never looked at a video of a chicken and thought, I feel bad about that. You're like, fuck you, chicken.
Weird, isn't
chickens
it?
Are stupid and mean and disgusting.
But I don't think they are, but they do get a bad rap, and I eat it like 4 days a week. I eat chicken.
No, I who has a pet chicken?
I don't
Chickens
know.
Chickens are not fun. Chickens are not intelligent. Their brains are like the size of your thumbnail.
But here we are, smoking weed and talking about chicken.
Are we?
All what? Right, you guys.
Who's here? Where am I?
Jennifer Valley is here.
I would like 5 pieces of Chick-fil-A,
and
please.
Here's what I love about Jennifer Valley. She began her show business career at the age of 11 months old when she became the Gerber baby. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And then she discovered the harsh
Another topless
realities.
Story. Then I bet she wasn't wearing a shirt then.
And then she discovered the harsh realities of show business when she was replaced 1 month later for being too old.
And too fat. Your baby is too fat.
Jennifer has written and produced hundreds and hundreds of hours of television, including shows for Disney, Oxygen, Fox, Spike, Fox Reality, Lifetime, NBC, CBS, Yahoo, and the TV Guide Channel. And Jennifer's jokes have been quoted in the New York Times, the LA Times, Huffington Post, and Yahoo News, and many other media outlets. She just continues to work and work in work in this
She
town.
Works. She works her shirt off. That's what she does. Works the shirt off her back.
On Twitter.
Hey, here it comes.
At Jennifer Valley. And I do want to point out that Jennifer Valley, the valley part, doesn't have an E. That's
right. You know why? Because she's a rebel.
That's right. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jennifer Valley. Yay, Jennifer Valley's here. Yay.
All right. My story is called I Love Weed. I love weed. Pot, marijuana, Mary Jane, reefer, ganja, whatever you want to call it, I like it. I like it in joint form, pipes, vaporizers, but my favorite is the good old-fashioned bong rip. That's what I like. I just like one or two, gets me going, makes me feel good. Now, the reason I like it is because I am not good with booze and alcohol. Now, I hear you saying, oh, do you have to be buzzed? Yes, I do. You know, every human being in their life likes to get comfortably numb. Somehow, some way, whether it's too much exercise, eating too much food, drinking too much, smoking too much. I have discovered I was not good with alcohol. And as a stand-up, you're performing in clubs a lot, right? So you're always around it. So I usually figured out that one drink, I'll feel pretty good. Two drinks, I'm pretty much drunk. And after three, it usually ends up the same. I'm either fighting or effing. And usually with a stranger. And if I'm really drunk, I'll be doing both fighting and effing with the same person. And that's maybe not as much fun. Or maybe it's more fun, depending on, you know, what you like. So that's why I'm a weed girl. And I had to get my medical marijuana card because my favorite dealer got busted. And how he got busted, you'll love this story, is out of politeness. He got busted because his customers were polite. So he lived in this little, courtyard, cute Hollywood apartment, you know, courtyard, one of those old-fashioned ones. And people would come in, literally, you know, like at least 5 an hour coming in and out. And every time someone left, they'd say, thank you, Innes. Thank you. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot, buddy. And finally, this landlord was going, why are people thanking you every time they walk out of your apartment? Something is up. What are you doing? So he finally got busted because the landlord said, enough of this thankful people. Yeah. And he got busted. So I said, oh, well, I guess I have to get my card. You know, I like to support the little man. You know how they say buy local? You know, yeah. I had no choice. I had to get my card and go to a shop. So I got a card. And then I wasn't working on a show for a while. So I tried to figure out how can I combine my two loves, you know, writing and weed. So I found these couple of medical marijuana blogs and, you know, review sites, and I asked them if I could work for them, and they said yes. So for about a year, I was reviewing every clinic in town. I was interviewing doctors for, you know, like these testing labs. I was going to HempCon. I was doing all these things, you know, and so I combined my two loves. It was awesome. Well, about this same time, my ex-husband moved to Mendocino County with his girlfriend. And he moved in a really small little hippy-dippy town. It was only about 5,000 people. And the whole town survives thanks to medical marijuana. I mean, you drive through the town, it's literally two lights. There's a doctor, he's grown weed. Yeah. There's the lawyer, he's grown weed. Oh, there's the chiropractor, he's grown weed. Oh, there's the dentist, he's grown. Everybody's growing weed. Well, my ex-husband was a carpenter, so he went up there, and he was working his butt off. They were hiring him to build grow houses, dry rooms, you know, or with their extra money, he was just adding additions to houses. And then he was seeing all these farmers making all this money because there's different ways to grow it. You can grow it outdoors, and you can grow it indoors. Now, when you grow weed outdoors, it's got regular seasons just like crops. And it's usually the big harvesting time is in the early fall. So that's when, you know, everybody does that. But if you grow indoors, it's a two-month process. You can have a batch of weed every 2 months because you're regulating it in a room with fans and you have lights that are on 12 and they're off 12. And so you can grow every 2 months. You can make a deal. So he decided he was going to do that. Didn't realize that it's a super expensive business. Super expensive. Like the electricity alone from leaving lights on 12 and 12 is over $2,000 to $3,000 a month just in electricity. And he was only growing like 48 plants. Now, here's the deal with growing. You have to have a license for each person you're growing for, because supposedly you're growing it for clinics, right? So he had like five licenses on his door. I think it's up there. It's like 10 to 12 plants per license. So he was growing like 48 plants. And he finally had a crop because it's ridiculously difficult because you could get mites and bugs and, you know, it gets burnt. There's so many thousand things that can go wrong. So he finally gets some, and then he's got to figure out, oh, well, now I got to sell this stuff. Where am I going to sell it? So he thinks, oh, well, my ex is in Los Angeles, and she has a card. Maybe she can get into one of these clinics and sell my product. Now, for some reason, up north, they think, you know, like Southern California, we're like rolling in dough down here. So everybody up there thought that you could get like $4,000 for a pound of weed. But you can't, which I found out. So this is the proposition my ex-husband laid out to me. If you help me sell this weed because you have a license and can get it into clinics, I will get the money and I could pay child support. So I literally had to work illegally to get my own child support. I go, how is this even fair? You know, but I did it. So I was like, how am I going to do this? So there's a magazine that runs around L.A. It's called L.A. Gem, L-A-J-E-M-M, and it's like the Journal of Medical Marijuana, something like that. Yeah. So I literally just picked it up and started going through the want ads looking for clinics in the valley, you know, and I'd call them up and go, hey, you know, I got some product here if you'd like to look at it. And my husband brought the weed down, and I got to tell you, this was the most beautiful weed I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, literally, the buds were the size of like a hot dog or a sausage. They were huge, green, with purple hair sticking off them. I looked at it and went, oh, this is the most, this could be the centerfold of High Times magazine. And that was my sales pitch. Whenever I called a clinic, I'd say, this weed is so good, it looks like the centerfold of High Times magazine. You know, some clinics say, come on down, and they take a look at it. And if the owner wasn't there, they'd say, no, or can we pay you on consignment? You know, it was like, no, I need the cash. I need the cash. So I called this one place, and it was in North Hollywood, and they said, yeah, come on down. You're going to meet with a guy named Boris. I'm like, all right. So I walk in the place, and it looks like it doesn't look like a pharmacy at all. It looks more like a shady kind of place. So this is, oh, before I go on, I discovered when I was doing reviews and stuff, most medical marijuana clinics are run by a certain group of people. A lot of them are run by hippies, and these are old-time, like, senior citizens with long hair, and these are the activists. You know, they're all retired. It's like they have nothing better to do but fight for marijuana rights. And they're very cool, and they'll give you, like, a free joint when you sign up, and they're very mellow. Now, there's some that are run like literally a pharmacy. You walk in, the people are wearing lab coats, and, you know, they take your note, and they're very like, what's wrong with you? And they know what each kind of strain is better for. This one's better for arthritis. This one's better for headaches. And then there's some that are run by stoners, where you walk in the room, and everybody's like, hey, man, what do you want? And then there's some that are run by the Russian mob. That's all I can describe them as, the Russian mob. They're in there to make money and get out. They don't give a crap if you're sick. They don't care. Yeah. You know, as long as you got a license, they're going to sell it. So the place I went to was run by a Russian mob. So I meet Boris, and I have a bag with the weed in it so I can show him. And Boris is dressed like a typical Russian mobster you see in every movie, like short hair, jeans, a black, really flat leather jacket, smoking a cigarette, you know. And I come in, and Boris introduces me to his partners. I'm not kidding, Nikolai and Sergey. I mean, you couldn't get any more, you know, Russian if you want. So Sergey leaves, and I'm in a room with, you know, Nikolai and Boris. And they look at the weed, and I can tell they really like the way it looks. And they say, we offer you $2,800 a pound. I'm like, oh, no, my ex-husband will freak out. He thinks he's going to get $4,000 a pound. I'm just like, no, I mean, and he goes, why so much money? Why so much money? I'm like, oh, God, these guys are, they're very intimidating. I said, well, because it's like, you know, homegrown. There's no, you know, there's no insecticides. It's very natural. Then all of a sudden, here comes Sergey walking in the room, and I'm not kidding, before he even opens the door, barely closed the door, he goes, why so much money? So I figured out, this is like Russian mob shtick, you know. He didn't know what the price was. It's just like their shtick. Why so much money? So I said, they said, we take it, $2,800. I said, no, no. So I walk out, and my ex-husband's like freaking out. You should have taken it. Oh, my God. I said, no, no, no. I know we can do better. So I call the next place. It's in North Hollywood also. And I call the woman. I say, I got this really great weed. Would you like to take a look at it? And she goes, sure. The guy who owns the clinic, his name is Sahar, and he's an Orthodox Jew. And I went, oh, okay, sure, why not? She goes, and I just want to give you a heads up that because he's an Orthodox Jew, he really doesn't like doing business with women, and he will not shake your hand out of respect. I go, respect? I mean, you know, I'm not on my period, for Christ's sake. He could, you know, he could shake my hand, for Christ's sake. So I walk in, and this clinic is supreme, you know. It's got all the sexy, you know, even though it's run by, you know, yeah, Orthodox Jews, it's got, like all the clinics, have the sexy girls behind the counter. Mm-hmm. They always have the pretty girls with the crop tops and, you know, bending over, what would you like? So I go into a back room with Sahar, and he looks at the weed, and his eyes are like, boing, and he goes, are you sure there's no man here, you know, I could talk to, the grower? And I'm like, well, he's actually here, but he doesn't have a license because, you know, that's my ex. He's growing, but he doesn't have a license, whatever, you know. And he's, so we bring in my ex-husband, they shake hands, and that's it. They do all the talking. Well, Sahar ends up buying all 5 pounds for $3,000. My ex says, okay, I'll take that amount. And so literally we're all in this back room counting out $15,000 in cash. Gosh. And I'm sitting here counting this money. It's like, oh my God. Well, the next day, Sahar calls my ex and says, I want 5 more. And all of a sudden, my ex went from like a small little grower to like a distributor. And, you know, and this is not something he really wanted to do. So he has to think quick, where is he going to get it from? And they really like what he got. So a few of his friends were growing kind of the same thing. So he had to go up north, get it all. And now he's delivering for his friends as well. And I always go along. He throws me a 20 for counting money. Yeah. Here's a 20, you know. Yeah. And at one point, you know, now my ex is starting to get mad because it's like, I'm doing so much work and blah, blah, blah. I'm selling for other people now. I'm not getting that much. And I'm sick of counting money. It's like, of all the effing complaints in the world, I'm sick of counting money. It was absolutely ridiculous. So, that he kind of ended that, but that doesn't end my connection. So up north, what they do, they have, you know, what's called trimming season. I don't know if you know what trimming season is. When you grow marijuana and they dry it, it's like a plant. Mm-hmm. And to sell it so it looks good in shops, they take it and they cut it down into little buds and, you know, they have to trim it. So literally hundreds of hippies go up north every year and they trim and they make good money cash. They can make $200 a pound. And if you're fast, you can make. So literally, I just dropped off my daughter this morning. And she's going up there to trim for one of her father's friends because she's a college student. She can make $200 a day cash doing this. Some of the trimmers are cool, like they're friends of her dad. So they'll let her take the stuff or go to their house and do it. Others will make the trimmers go to their property and stay there for the whole 2 months they're working because they don't want the cops or the, you know, the sheriff to see people going in and out. So I'll just tell you this story, and I'll end my little story. My daughter was working for this hippie couple in their home, and they were very nice, making vegan meals and all this stuff. And they had a little kid named Vision. He was like 2 years old. And my daughter said she never laughed so hard in her life. They're all up there, you know, trimming and stuff, working. And the woman was calling out to her child, Vision, where are you? I can't see you. Where are you, Vision? You gotta stay in my eyesight, Vision. So
maybe how much disrespect you'll put up with when there's $15,000 in cash on a table. It's like, all right, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you took the weed in there. You took those 5 pounds in, you said, in bags.
Yeah.
And then how did you take the money out?
When I worked at TV Guide, you'd get junket gifts. I had literally a big orange Garfield bag from the Garfield movie.
Perfect.
And I had it in there, and I just left them the product, and I put the money in there.
Yeah, it just seems so almost scandalous.
And, you know, the truth is that there was so much cash involved, most of it 20s, and that I had read somewhere that like 80% of the money, money in the United States, has some kind of drug residual on it.
Yeah, either weed cocaine or something
on it.
Wow. No, I never heard that.
Because people don't deal in that much cash, really, except for...
Right, people snort cocaine through, you know, $100 bills
But it is so tricky, cash. I mean, because then you have to pay bills with that, and then you put it in the bank or you don't. I mean, I think that's part of this whole thing, this whole pot legalization, is that we need to get some regulation going on.
Well, that's the problem they were having in Colorado at first, was there was no banks that were legally allowed to accept the funds.
Yeah.
So it's like everything is cash. How are you going to collect the taxes if there's not a bank involved that will take the money? Banks have to get on board with this. Right now, since it's still federally against the law, banks are not allowed to take money from supposed ill-gotten gains or something. You know.
So what do you think the future is?
I think whatever bank ponies up first is going to be, you know, making a lot of money, and then others will follow when they see,
it's all about them. Once people start making money, they'll all just jump on board.
Right.
And your ex-husband still lives up in Mendocino?
Yes.
It's nice that you get along. I mean...
Yeah, in fact, my daughter, literally, I just put her on the train, and she's going up there to work for a couple of weeks.
How interesting. So you love weed, he loves weed, the family loves weed. It's a new.
I don't know how did you ever have the energy to get a divorce?
Yeah,
I've been like sitting around like, man, it's not working, man.
See, that's
I think
that's a big misconception, right, Christina?
Yes,
that you can still be ambitious and smoke weed. You know?
Yes,
of course, and he knows that because we've done quite a few shows on marijuana. Yeah, because if you're going to be lazy and lay around the house and eat snacks all day and watch TV, you were going to do that whether you had weed or you did not have weed. I mean, weed,
but you weren't going to enjoy it as much.
Well, that's probably true. But I love though that you put such a nice face on marijuana, on this whole this whole situation. People thinking it's a vice. People thinking that it's this bad thing that, you know, you're some sort of criminal if you're smoking pot. I love that you can just put a normal face on it, Jennifer Valley.
Well, and I never hid it from my kids because I like it. You know, I didn't smoke in front of them because that's kind of creepy.
Right.
You know, I was the master of, you know, like going in the bathroom with the towel on the door, you know.
I'm sure they never noticed when the light in the bathroom stopped coming out from under the door. They're like, well, we got a good 10 minutes. Mom is
But, you know, I don't really see anything wrong with it. I would be more upset if I found out they were sneaking booze or something.
Of course, yeah.
But the funny thing is my daughter, who's up there now working for a few weeks, doesn't want to smoke it. You know, she's not.
Of course not, because it's okay with you.
She's not interested.
Yeah.
And in fact, she even wears gloves when she does it because it can, like, you know,
permeate your skin.
And, you know, so she's like, no, you know.
No kidding.
Meanwhile, if you went up there, you're rubbing your face in the plant. You're just swimming through the field like,
So tell me more about LA Gem magazine, because that magazine's still out.
I mean, it's basically, in a way, it's almost like LA Weekly, where it's like, you know, 90% ads.
Right.
You know, and there might be an article or two in there.
It's all ads and coupons, because when you go to a new shop, they'll give you this or this or this to go into their dispensary.
Right, and when I was doing reviews, it's pretty much standard or market standard that when you go into a place for the first time, they're going to give you something free in addition to, you know. A lot of places don't like to give you... actual product.
Mm-hmm. They'll give you lighters.
They'll give you
papers, or they'll give
you an edible.
Right.
You know, some places have free edibles. And I've always found, and I even when I interviewed this doctor who runs a testing clinic, he said more people, if you can OD, which you really can't, more people OD on edibles than anything you smoke because it's not really regulated. Like if you go to a clinic and they have like the refrigerator of the brownies and the cookies and all that stuff, it'll say on the container 1x, 2x, 10x,
2x4, 4x4.
You know, and the doctor was telling me, what's x? You know, you don't know what that is. How strong is it? What's in there? So, you know, and it's a whole other thing too. It's like you eat it, and like 45 minutes later, it may hit you. So a lot of people, why they OD or feel really crappy when they eat it is they'll eat it, and it's like, oh, I'm not high yet after 5 minutes, like when you smoke it. So, they'll eat the whole cookie, and then they're like out.
Right.
Of course,
we've edibles are a whole different thing. I'm not a big fan myself because you can't regulate it as well.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, friend of the show and fourth anniversary guest Todd Glass, of course, had once told a story about how his mother-in-law thought that the cookies at the party were just cookies and ate like 10.
Yeah, so, all right, like four.
Like 67 years old. And French, I believe she was. So she was, I do not know what is happening.
Oh, no. Yeah, you do read about that, especially people getting on airplanes. That seems to be a big place for people to eat too much of an edible, you know, because they can't smoke on the plane. So they take an edible with them, and now they're in this confined space at 35,000 feet.
And also, the pressure might affect you differently.
Yeah, maybe. And they've eaten this brownie, and yeah, that's no good. So let me ask you, Jennifer, about the new farmers market here in Los Angeles.
I went to it.
Because I haven't been there yet. Tell us about that.
Well, they closed it.
It was open for 2 weekends?
It was open for 2 weekends, and on the 6th of August, they're going to, you know, take it to the courts and see if they can do it. Listen to why they closed it. I met the girl who ran it. It was super nice. It's in a warehouse district in
Boyle Heights.
I didn't even know where Boyle Heights was.
It was farmer's market.
It's like East LA.
Weed growers.
Yeah, basically. And it was in a warehouse.
How many growers?
There was probably 20 growers, and about 15 of those were actual farmers that brought their product down, set up a booth, had samples.
But you couldn't smoke there, could you?
Oh, no. You can't smoke there. You had to have a license to get in, and they verified you before you could even walk in. And then you could walk around. Like, I went around and looked at what everybody had, and it was so inexpensive. It was ridiculous. I mean, literally, like, if you go to a regular clinic, just a gram, which is just like, you know, this,
tiny
like the size of a quarter maybe, is $20. At this farmer's market, it was $2 to $8. You could buy a whole ounce for $200.
An ounce for $200 is unheard of.
It's unheard of. So, and when I went there, there was people like real sick people. I mean, there was old people in walkers.
Sure.
You know, there's people in wheelchairs. And then again, there was like hipsters and young people too, of course, you know. And the reason they gave for closing it, number one, was that it was blocking parking for homes. There was no homes there. It was all industrial. And second was unfair competition.
Wow.
To the regular clinic. So now they're trying to shut down clinics, but if you try to cut out the middleman so sick people can get their medicine
right
from the grower, well, that's unfair competition.
Wow, that's amazing. I think they'll win. Don't you think they'll win? I hope so.
Well, I think they should. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I think, it, like you said, it's across the board everybody that loves marijuana. I mean, this is not about age or sex or religion. Everybody loves marijuana.
Yeah, and I felt bad that I didn't buy more when I was there. I thought I was going to come back the next weekend, you know. But I was, been shut down.
So does your husband still bring his product down here to Los Angeles?
He's not doing that anymore as far as the growing thing. But he is hooking up with people. The new thing is
concentrates.
Vapes. Vape pens. You know, everybody's doing vape pens because they
I meant to bring mine. I have one.
I didn't bring mine either. Yeah, they don't like to, you know, it's like getting smoke in your lungs is things that people are like worried about now.
Yeah.
So vape pens are like a little, it's almost like hash oil. It's about the size of, you know, it's like 2 inches, like the size of a short cigarette. And you put it in a vape pen and it's the same varieties of weed. So you could get Blue Dream
oils.
And you put it in the vape pen and that's like $40. I don't know how long it lasts.
Well, a vape pen lasts forever because you have, like mine is an Ego, it's called, and you can just charge it. It has a UCB port. You put it right into your computer, and it charges it. So they really will last forever.
No, but I mean the cartridge itself that has the oil in it.
Oh, okay. Well, it depends on how heavy you inhale.
Yeah.
It depends on how you use it.
I'm not crazy. I kind of like the smoke in my lungs, to be honest with you, but, you know.
You're old school.
But, like, the vape pens are okay because you could see something coming out of your mouth. I don't know what it's vapor, I guess, you know.
Yeah, you see. Well, we had Cheryl Schumann on recently, and she's the owner of the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club, and she makes these beautiful, like, $500 vape pens that have diamonds, you know, that Paris Hilton would use. Yes. So there's, you know, there are so many auxiliary products and things that go along with this industry.
So to go on with that, he is now delivering, like, the cartridges, which it seems to be the
okay, that's what
new
bird.
That's the that new burgeoning market.
Well, I'm happy to be living in these times. I really am.
Yeah,
I love seeing it. I love seeing it, and I go back to Pennsylvania and I just laugh at them all because they're all.
Well, yeah, you're high as a kite. You had like 48 brownies before you landed in Pittsburgh Airport.
You can't buy beer in a grocery store in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
I mean they are so backwards, that state. They'll be the last people. Pennsylvania may be one of the last states to ever legalize medicinal marijuana and to legalize gay marriage.
No, but when they do, you'll have to buy it at the state store, just like beer.
Yeah.
There'll be a state pot store.
I love California, and I love the freedom that we have out here. You want to play some shotguns?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Oh, it landed on pets. Look at the wheel. It landed on pets. Yay, pets. I got a good pet story.
Okay.
All right, so when I was young, my parents are, you know, European, I guess. Anyway, we had a cat named Doofeltje, which is devil in Dutch. And this cat was a little devil. It would always run around, cause trouble. One day, it was acting a little weird. It was like, we didn't know what was going on. And, of course, in those days, no one took, now, everybody takes their animal to the vet and spends $5,000. Back in the old days, it was like something wrong with your pet. Eh, whatever, maybe it'll get over it. If not, well, we'll just get a new one. So the cat was acting weird, but it seemed better after a day or two. I'm not kidding. Like a week later, it starts going, making this weird thing, and I see something coming out of the side of its neck. And I'm like, what the F is that, you know? And then slowly, over the days, it was coming out more and more. It was a needle. The cat had swallowed a needle and a thread, and it was coming out through its neck. And by the end of a week, it was like this needle dangling by this little piece of thread with a knot. One day, it just stepped on it, ike, and out it came. Doofle just swallowed a needle and came out through its neck.
Wow, that's crazy.
That, and if cat had not been high from all your residual marijuana smoke, it would have been in pain. But luckily,
when I was at my girlfriend Kimmy Eddie's house, when I was a kid, her dog pooped out a stocking. It had come out and just in a pantyhose. And then my friend Kimmy Eddie, she stepped on the pantyhose and the dog kept walking and it kept coming out of its butt. We do a whole podcast on things that come
things
out of
things that
animals.
Go into and come out of pets. That could be a whole thing.
That could be a whole topic on the wheel. That's gross.
Was that
man.
Weird? It came out its neck.
That's really weird.
That's and but it lived. How much longer did it live? Like years after that?
No, it got ate by coyote like within 6 months. I don't know. But
Jackie
still,
yeah. Cation has this great bit about how when she was growing up, like cats were like, you know, you had one and then it died and you got another one. I mean, it was just like a thing. It wasn't like you don't put money, you don't spend money on a cat.
No, ever.
They come or they leave.
Yeah.
They don't. You know,
right, you're not spending $5,000 because it's got a kidney stone. No, you don't.
No, you get a new one.
Right.
Oh, I just don't know. I understand, though, how people are so crazy for their pets. I get it. It's like their children. Like, I get that.
What does that mean when we were kids, people weren't crazy about their pets?
No,
I guess.
Apparently
they
not.
Crazy. They weren't as crazy about their children. Now, as you know, children are very, very precious.
Yeah, they would barely pay attention to the kids, let alone.
That's true. That's true. Say, we were seen but not heard. You know, they didn't want to hear from us when I was growing up. And now the children, because like maybe because we have less or whatever, we they're so special. I don't know.
We treat them like that, and then they grow up to be assholes. There, I said it.
Oh, come on now.
It's true.
I'm saying like kids. Like, there's
they
kids.
They feel entitled.
I see. Yes, people. I know there is a sense of entitlement. It's like, I mean, I'm sorry. Boy, this really makes me sound like an old fogey, but it's like when you go to school and every single person gets a blue ribbon and everybody gets a gold star, it's like, you did great. It's like, no, you did terribly.
So you want to point at kids and say, you suck, and you suck.
Not you suck, but like, you failed to do this task. Instead of, you tried, that's good enough. It's not good enough when you want to get a job.
Oh, my God.
It's not good enough.
Listen, you don't have kids. And I'll tell you something. Once you have kids, you want to give them everything you can. You just do.
Right, but I'm saying you're not giving them things by just praising them at every moment. You're giving them a false sense of what the world
next
is like.
Next time you're with my daughter, go ahead, put her down, Hannes. Go ahead. Just go ahead, put her down.
I'll say your mother is high as a kite.
I know.
Why do you think I drive?
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I can always
me.
Count on you to bring some great story to the table, and you just make me laugh. You're the best.
Thank you, Jennifer. You're a fantastic guest.
All right, you guys. And once again, head on over.
She didn't say anything about taking her shirt off. I'm really, the streak is over.
To our website, storyworthypodcast.com, and see all the fine shenanigans going on over there.
Shenanigans.
And on behalf of everybody here at Sideshow Network, especially Sean Merrick, and of course, John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Yeah, I think he sold me some weed once.
we've shared some weed together, I'll say that. John Thomas and I, we're the kind of tennis partners where we play a set, smoke some weed. Play a set, smoke some weed. Can I say that?
I do that with
apparently
my tennis partner.
Apparently, you just did.
There you go. And on behalf
and my tennis partner, you mean a stuffed animal in your room. Here, look. Hey, Mr. Belvedere, would you like to play some tennis?
On behalf of our...
Okay, Davey.
Jennifer Valley. And, of course, you, Hannes, your friend and co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story with you.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.